You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Steeler Week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it's time now for the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Located on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair, Blue Point Grill has the Silver Spoon Award win for the best seafood restaurant ever since it opened, and that's a reputation earned by serving the absolute freshest and highest quality seafood. With a name like Blue Point Oysters, you know they're a big deal. Over 75,000 shucked every single year. They've got the best crab legs in town as far as I'm concerned. And if you want to make a reservation, go to Blue Point Grill. That's grill with an E, bluepointgrill.com. And it's also a great place before every Browns home game to brunch, valet parking, get some Bloody Marys, get some oysters, open at 10 a.m. That's the way to tailgate with class. Joining me now for the roundtable, Matt Wilhelm, and of course, from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, analyst Doug Deacon. Deke, it's a big one here, Steeler Week. How important is this game to really kind of changing the culture of the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think it's real important. I mean, you got to get a win someplace, and they got that against the Saints. Then you got to get a road win. They got that against the Titans. Then you got to get a division win. I mean, I think if you're going to go and try to make the playoffs and be a contender, you've got to win within your division, and that's something that they've got to do. And they have the home crowd there. And I think they'll be pretty well cranked up. I think it's very important.
I think it's very important. The dog pound will be cranked up. Matt, if you had a guy, a quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who was 18-1 against your organization, how important is that? I mean, is that something that the players know about that is being ingrained into them? Like, we're getting our butts kicked by this guy. We have to do something about
this. You know, really not so much. And I think that what I would hope out of Coach Mike Pettine is he throws that record out the window. You know, it makes it about the Pittsburgh Steelers as a whole. You know, and everyone talks about, you know, because Ben's probably the longest tenured guy there, maybe with Troy Polamalu, so he has the same success. But as a quarterback, it's more so about this team beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think this is that first, as Mike and I, Michael and I, you know, talked about earlier. It's not only is it a building block by getting another victory, a home victory, but also too, it's beating the Pittsburgh Steelers and getting that division the win, as Doug alluded to earlier. This is huge. This is huge confidence builder. And I think, and again, wins are springboards, but this is that catapult in the right direction that says, we believe in Coach Mike Pettine. He is our leader. He is the leader of our future. And we can win and compete in our division week in, week out.
What's the biggest key to winning this game for the Browns, Doug?
Well, number one, you don't turn the ball over. You know, they're a team that will take advantage of it. Number two is you've got to get to Roethlisberger. You can't let him extend plays and make those plays like he did with Antonio Brown over there. And obviously, three, I think, stop the run, because, you know, Bell is having a great year. I mean, he's a pretty unique back. I mean, his ability to stop, you know, on a cutback and just let the defense flow by is amazing. I mean, he's got some really good stop-and-go action.
He certainly does, averaging 90 yards a game on the ground right now, 140 about from scrimmage, as he has been phenomenal for this team so far. Matt, your number one key for the Browns in winning this game?
My number one key, and I talked about it earlier, and Deke talked about it, it's our defensive front stopping that run. I know the emphasis is put on Ben Roethlisberger and that 18-1 record against the Cleveland Browns, but I feel like I like our shot defensively to right the ship, get pressure on Big Ben with multiple bodies, getting him down to the ground, and as I talked about last week, making them one-dimensional, taking Le'Veon Bell out of the game, both in the screen game and the passing game, and in the way he a lot of ways reminds me of Ben Tate and what we saw of Ben Tate last week. Can take it outside and can cut it all the way out the back door. But if we can take care of that and right the ship up front, we'll be able to mix and match coverages defensively with, you know, a plethora of DBs that are going to play for us this week and confuse Ben and get pressure on Ben.
See, I'm going to go, I think you guys are absolutely right. That is the ultimate key. But I think the Browns' offensive line needs to continue to play at the level it has. It's been the best in the league. Continue to set the tone and allow this offense to operate at such an efficient level. You talked about the back end of this defense. Joe Hayden's banged up, Doug. We know he's struggled at times, pretty much every time, with Antonio Brown in the past. If you're the Browns and you got Hayden out there but less than 100%, do you still stick him on Antonio Brown, or do you try to mix things up there?
Well, I think if he's not 100%, but he's able to play. You give him some help. But, you know, you talk about Joe Hayden having trouble with Antonio Brown. Now, the guy has got, what, 22 games in a row where he's caught five or more passes.
NFL
50
record.
Yards.
Yep, 21.
Okay.
Yep.
Some of the other people have had trouble with Antonio
Everybody
Brown.
Everybody has trouble. You're right. He's pretty darn good. But schematically, if there's something like that where – you know, you want to go man and you want to follow the number one receiver, but it's just not a matchup that's good for you. Listen, Joe Hayden shuts down A.J. Green better than anybody in the NFL. It's not even close. But this is one that seems to give him problems. Is there a time where you might say, okay, let's dial up a different, you know, strategy here for Antonio Brown?
Not necessarily. I think if Joe Hayden plays, Joe Hayden is going to want to prove that he can stop Antonio Brown. So he's going to want that.
I know he can do it.
Exactly. I know he can. And what I talked about with Reg yesterday was – I'd like to see, and I'm not trying to deviate from that man press all the time look that we've been giving, but I think there's ways if Joe Hayden does not play and Kaywan Williams is thrown in the mix and Justin Gilbert has to play significant reps. I know defensively there are coverages out there that you can band-aid certain players, and that's a little bit more zone. That's mixing up looks, you know, not being in man press all the time, but playing man from off. So you're keeping the ball in front of you. You're able to make the tackle and get off the field and alleviate that deep threat of Antonio Brown down the field.
The Browns on the road, slow starts. At home, they've actually been pretty decent starts. Doug, what is it, and both of you guys as former players, why do you start fast sometimes, start some so slow other times? Can the coaches do something? Is this a player's issue to fix?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you knew it, you'd be a head coach in the NFL. But I think, you know, one of the things is you have to control your emotions. And I thought down in Tennessee, they were playing a little bit out of control defensively, the way they were overrunning tackles and things like that. I mean, you can actually get wired too much for the game. And a lot of times it would take you a series or two to get yourself under control. I always felt, you know, those first series that we had three or four plays, you always wanted a short pass so you could cut the guy to, you know, have a safe play and then get into the flow of the game. As far as, you know, having trouble on the road and playing well at home, you know, it's just the execution. And, you know, and I think part of it comes with confidence. And I think this team is starting to really have some confidence in Brian Hoyer. When you've had
as
the success
should.
That he's had, you know, okay, you can say it, but to go do it is a different thing. You know, and you can be a rah-rah guy. Yeah, that's great. But when you go do it in front of your teammates, that sells them.
Yeah, that confidence is huge, and I do think that and I said this last week going into Tennessee coming off of a bye where I also alluded to the fact that we needed to come out fast. We want to see that again, and I do think the defensive and offensive game plans can assist in us coming out fast, meaning Kyle Shanahan talking, you know, as Deke said, Kyle Shanahan having some of those runs to get those offensive linemen back in their flow, you know, back in their zones, a cut block, some quick passes, quick completions to build Brian Hoyer's completions, some first downs, doesn't even necessarily need to be points. And then defensively, Jim O'Neill or Mike Pettine, you know, dialing up some wheelhouse coverages, wheelhouse blitzes that are we know like the back of our hand. And thus far, even though we've struggled, those have been our strong points. Those are the confidence builders that I'd like to see early, you know, to get off the field on third down or to give us, you know, a big hit. As we had a caller call in earlier talking about laying the wood to Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown, those things are confidence boosters that a coach can help assimilate sooner in this game than not.
Yeah, and certainly I think this is the week for Dante Whitner to come out and lay that big hit on somebody. I think it's time for him. Cleveland, his first game at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Would love to see it. Now, we talked about Bell. We've talked about Antonio Brown. But in the NFL, it's often a pick-your-poison situation. If the Browns are going to win this game, and let's say they can only stop one of those two guys, who does it have to be?
Gosh, I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell. And the reason why is we've talked about Antonio Brown having 5-plus catches in 20-some games, but we know Le'Veon Bell is going to carry the ball 20-plus times in this football game and probably catch or be targeted maybe 5 to 7 more times. So he's going to get my emphasis because he's going to have the football in his hands more often.
And if you stop Bell, there's a good chance you're going to get him off the field on third down, and that's what you want to do. You want to limit the number of possessions that Big Ben has.
Through the first four games, Doug, who has been the biggest surprise to you, pleasant surprise, and who's the one guy that you think really needs to step up for this team over the long haul to get where they want to be?
I think probably the most pleasant surprise, you know, I'm not surprised by Hoyer. I mean, I think we knew going in that he had a good grasp of the system, and it was just a matter of the opportunity. And what happened in training camp wasn't, you know, that wasn't football. That was just trying to find out, you know, who can play where. I'm going to say the young receivers, you know, Gabriel and guys in Hawkins, you know, how they have fit in and kind of carried the load without, you know, having a Josh Gordon and an injured pretty much Jordan Cameron in the first couple of weeks. As far as stepping up, I think the pass rush is going to have to step up. I mean, we've got to get some – if we're having trouble on the back end of the secondary, one way to help it is get some pressure up front.
I'm going to go with I think that Andrew Hawkins is the biggest surprise. He's the shining star outside of Brian Hoyer in that offensive line. Those are kind of a givens. So Andrew Hawkins is the biggest star for me in my eyes, and the one I'd like to see more production from is Jordan Cameron, that passing game. I think that he is vital for Brian Hoyer. He will make Andrew Hawkins and Gabriel and Miles Austin shine even brighter when he gets back to his form of last season.
Yeah, I think Jordan Cameron, if you're looking from the offensive side of a guy who needs to kind of increase his production, I'd agree with you. It's got to be Jordan Cameron. My surprise, just like you, the fact that this receiving core and the fact that this offense in general has been as good as it has been, tip of the cap to Brian Hoyer, tip of the cap to Kyle Shanahan, huge tip of the cap to the line, the backs, and, of course, these young receivers, Taylor Gabriel. How about Travis Benjamin, 3 touchdowns on the season, 2 after that muff punt, the resiliency and resolve he showed, and he's now a guy who's actually more effective as a receiver, and it's interesting. I remember watching the tape of him in camp, and I thought he was much better on crossing routes than verticals. He doesn't track the ball necessarily all that well on the vertical routes that you'd think would be his staples, and maybe we're seeing that with the punts, but on those crossing routes, he is dangerous, and when he gets you going one way and breaks it off back the other way, as both of those touchdowns came, he's been good. So those have been the big surprises for me personally. The biggest disappointments, I would say, have to be the defensive line's inability to stop the run. And I think everything comes from that, because if teams can just gash you, they get you in those 50-50 situations where you can't really just pin your ears back and get to the quarterback. So I'm hoping that maybe bringing Ishmaili Kitchen in this week, moving Ruben out to the outside, can certainly help this run defense kind of fortify and solidify itself here against the Steelers, because I think that's what it's going to take to win. This game, though, as you said, is a big one. We've all agree it's a big game against the Pittsburgh Steelers for a variety of reasons, and it's one almost that feels like for the second week in a row a must-win, even though it's week 5 here for the Browns in terms of being their 5th game. I think offensively in this game, you said take care of the football. If they can continue to hit those big plays, I think you can break the will of this Steelers D that isn't as tough as it used to be.
No, this isn't the Steeler defense we've seen in the last few years. They've obviously got some holes. They've had some people that have gotten old and have gone on, but you know, you still have Dick LeBeau dialing the numbers, and he'll find something that, you know, you maybe haven't seen. But, you know, I think Brian Hoyer, you know, the thing about him is he doesn't get rattled. And he's shown it game in out. I mean, he was down by 5 points, and he came out there and orchestrated a great comeback. But, you know, I think, yeah, if we can play keep away from him, we've got a better chance. And, you know, when you play the Steelers, you know what it's about. It's physical football. So you button your chin straps and you put your cup on.
That's right, and get ready to go out there.
Sure, and vice versa, the same way that the Browns, with their big plays offensively, I think that's the one thing that we need to stop, too, is make Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell, you know, go 13, you know, they're not going to go 13 plays, 10 plays. They live and die by extending the play and those big chunk plays down the field, too. And if we can alleviate that, and I talked about it yesterday with Reg, plastering our coverage and our eye discipline in that defensive backfield, we always want to see, well, what's the quarterback looking at? What's he doing? And when you're doing that in man coverage, your guy's, you know, 3 yards away from you, they're streaking towards the end zone. So those things I look to really, you know, solidify. Therefore, it's a non-issue.
You know, what's funny with Ben, he extends plays. And he gets out of the pocket, and you see people come off their coverage. He's never going to run for a chunk play.
No.
Maybe he'll pick up a first down, but this isn't Colin Kaepernick. It's not Russell Wilson who's going to really gash you with his legs. So just stay home. And
right.
Don't let him throw that deep ball and hit that big play. I talked about how it feels different in this building with this team, 2-2, just like they were a year ago. And, in fact, last year they went on to go to 3-2. Tashawn Gibson said, you know, last year we felt like we could play with anybody. This year we know we can beat anybody. Does this feel different to you, Doug? Are you seeing a different team and a different product on the field?
Yeah, I think you're seeing a very competitive team. The only thing that, you know, scares you is you dig a couple holes early on, and, you know, good teams can't do that. I mean, if you're going to win on a regular basis, you can't spot a team 20-some
You
points.
Don't set NFL records for comebacks.
Yeah,
consistently.
No, that's not what you want to do. But I think, you know, the talent of this team is, you know, it's over the course of 4 or 5 years. There's some good football players here. And there's a chemistry factor that I think is starting to take place. And the chemistry comes when all of a sudden, you know, when you, instead of saying, oh, here we go again, say, okay, we've been here before, let's go do it. You know, and I think that's they got a positive attitude. And I look at, you know, Joe Thomas and Hoyer dancing in the locker room.
Did you ever dance in the locker room, Deke?
Not quite. but I think, you know, the thing is, these guys are finally having fun because it's fun when you win, you know. And, you know, for Joe to be here for 7 years and, what, one winning season, you don't appreciate it. And I think the appreciation, it's really something that you can't go out and just coach. It's something that comes with winning, and I hopefully we can continue it.
Absolutely. Doug, great stuff for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill. Of course, Doug will be on the call with Jim Donovan on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network this Sunday at 1 when the Browns take on the Steelers at First Energy Stadium. Don't forget, you can get some of the best food in town, a great view of downtown, attentive service that makes Blue Point a VIP experience for everyone. We're talking huge crab legs, succulent lobster tails, fresh scallops, ahi, tuna, oysters from both coasts, over 75,000 shucked per year, and great steaks as well. This is not just seafood, although that's what their calling card is down at Blue Point Grill. So go ahead, log on to Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com. Make a reservation and treat yourself to the Silver Spoons Award winner for best seafood restaurant in Cleveland. We'll be back here with more on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.